Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program that's devoted to the most important and to the fastest growing segment of our society. To those of you who know that the world's political, religious, media, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our mission, therefore, is to look behind the headlines, to know who is working against our interest, to understand why they're doing so. Because exposing and condemning errant and treacherous schemes isn't hateful. It's caring. In our concluding hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah. Torah means teaching, does not mean law. It is liberating, it's enriching, it's empowering. And its covenant provides the only reliable answer for you and your family. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, toll free, it's 877-300-7645. I was going to ignore him because, frankly, he's irrelevant. His approval ratings are in the mid-40s, and two-thirds of those ratings are from religious idiots, people that no amount of evidence or reason would change their mind because their politics is their religion. So I was just going to ignore Barack Hussein Obama and his State of the Union address. But I can't. And the reason I can't is because the President of the United States is a pathological liar. I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm saying that's a fact. He is a pathological liar. And he gets away with it because most Americans are unwilling to invest the time necessary to hold their political and military and media spokespeople accountable. It's worse than him being a pathological liar. He also has a messianic complex. He wants to be a dictator. And he is devoted to class warfare. He is a communist, dictator, and pathological liar. Those are traits that you don't want in the president of a representative government, particularly one based on the free enterprise system, one based upon the people making wise decisions. This headline was from the BBC. U.S. President Barack Obama has promised with or without Congress to tackle economic inequity in his annual State of the Union address. He pledged to take steps without legislation. Think of that for a moment. Just bare bones. Pause. Hit the pause button. Economic inequality in America hasn't changed in 50 years. In fact, it probably hasn't changed in 100 years. We just don't have surveys and research and records that go back that far. I'm going to share with you this morning absolute proof that economic inequality in America is exactly where it has always been, and that the president lied when he says that it is getting worse. This notion that with or without Congress that the President of the United States is going to take action is also stunningly troubling. Not only is his cause mythological, disingenuous, class warfare, without basis, his tactic is dictatorial. The United States government was set up with checks and balances. Everything economic is the responsibility of Congress, not the President of the United States. Not only can't he act without Congress, he's treading on their turf. It's Congress who is responsible for budgets and economic issues, not the President. It's stunning that this is not viewed by the preponderance of Americans as the harbinger of horrible times to come, when the semblance of representative government will cease to exist in this country. The New York Times wrote that Obama focused his remarks on income inequality and American workers. Well, the fact is that they didn't bother to tell you that there is no reason to equate the government and income inequality. Since the 1960s, when Lyndon Baines Johnson came up with the harebrained scheme of the Great Society and instituted socialistic wealth redistribution programs, principally through Social Security and Medicare. Well, not so much Social Security, welfare and Medicare. Social Security was the brainchild of FDR. Since that time, the upward mobility of Americans hasn't changed one iota. The American dream for those who apply themselves, who engage, is as viable as it ever was. The billions, the trillions that has been squandered trying to create an unlevel playing field, where those considered disadvantaged were given unfair advantages so that they would rise more rapidly, and all of the punitive taxation methods that were imposed to hinder the progress of those who had engaged successfully, that after 50 years of societal engineering, there's been no change. All we did is we thwarted progress. He knows that, by the way. He's just a pathological liar. The reporter who wrote this headline knew that. He's just incapable of telling you the truth because he'd lose his job. The president argued that economic recovery largely has benefited those at the top, while leaving many Americans struggling to break into the middle class. It's not true. It's factually inaccurate. He offered a mixed prescription for economic ills. The president called for Congress to extend long-term unemployment benefits. Imagine, your society is so upside down that there's a benefit for unemployment. And to expand earned income tax credit for workers without children. Without children. Talk about something that is just utterly absurd. Because most Americans are opposed to welfare, where, by the way, in the state of California, which has by far the most welfare recipients, in fact, about a third of the nation's welfare recipients are in the state of California, they earn the equivalent of what somebody working 40 hours a week at $20 an hour, well, they don't earn it, they receive it, would get. Now, as it relates to earned income tax credit, because most Americans were opposed to the debilitating nature of welfare, where it just goes from generation to generation, it makes a nation of dependents, and those dependents engage in all sorts of disgusting behaviors. Alcoholism, drug abuse, thievery. You know, if you go to the places where there's a high percentage of welfare recipients and you look at the lawlessness that exists there, you'd be revolted. It destroys character when people get something for nothing. When they become dependent, they lose their backbone. It was a horrible idea. It failed. And Americans are universally, not universally, but overwhelmingly opposed to it. So what did the government do? It said, well, people are opposed to welfare, so we can create the same result of redistributing wealth, the old communist concept, under a different name. We'll call it the Earned Income Tax Credit. There's nothing earned about it. And it's not even a credit. It's those that would normally have received welfare, when they file an income tax form, rather than paying income tax, the government pays them. It's the exact same thing as welfare. Nothing earned about it. There's nothing to credit about it. The government writes them a check, just as it would write a welfare check. It's repulsive. It's ineffective. In fact, it's counterproductive. Advisors had signaled ahead of the speech that the president in 2014 will rely more on executive actions, that means dictatorial actions, to pursue his agenda, with the understanding that passing anything controversial through Congress is an uphill battle. In other words, he wants to say, because the Congress won't rubber stamp everything that he wants, when he wants it, how he wants it, he's going to act as a dictator. Obama also said, I'll act on my own to streamline the bureaucracy for key infrastructure projects. He's telling you, I'm going to act like a dictator. I have on this program many times said that America is within 10 to 15 years of being a dictatorial nation, that we will be no different than Germany was in the late 1920s, early 1930s. We may even vote as a nation to elect a dictator. You're getting a sample of what that is like right now. I'd like to review some of the statements that the president made during his speech to prove my point that he is a pathological liar. He said that the more than 8 million new jobs have been added by our businesses over the past 4 years. Well, since the start of his presidency, about 3.2 million jobs have been created, not 8 million. And the number of jobs in the economy is still 1.2 million below the level the year before he took office. If you use the year before he took office as the benchmark, during the 5 years of his administration, his economic policies have destroyed 1.2 million jobs. Now, losing 1.2 million jobs is a whole lot different than telling America that you increased jobs by 8 million. As I said, the man is a pathological liar. We'll be back with Shattering Myths after the commercial break. All right, so the first statement that the president made about this notion that there are 8 million new jobs in our businesses that have been created over the past 4 years is a lie. The fact is that there are 1.2 million fewer jobs in the business sector now than when Obama took office. The next statement he made is a manufacturing sector that's adding jobs for the first time since the 1990s. Well, the Bureau of Labor Statistics data show that the number of manufacturing jobs is still 500,000 fewer than when Obama took office. It's 1.7 million fewer than in 2007, the year, a full year before he took office. No, our manufacturing sector is not adding jobs. It's losing jobs. Barack Hussein Obama is a pathological liar. He said that our deficits were cut by more than half. It's not true. The federal budget deficit has declined since 2009. From $1.3 trillion, including the $800 billion, the stimulus bill that he put through, and the continuation of the Iraq war, to about $900 billion. But that's not much to brag about. The U.S. debt, which is all that really matters. Are you decreasing the amount that America owes, its indebtedness? Or are you increasing America's indebtedness? I mean, that's what matters. Are you increasing it or decreasing it? Well, rather than cut America's debt by half, it has actually grown under his stewardship in the past 5 years from $10 trillion to $17.3 trillion. During the past 5 years, the Obama administration has added $7.3 trillion to the national deficit. That's more than were added by virtually every president prior to him. I mean, not 70% of what was added by every president prior to his time. It's a 43% increase in America's indebtedness, not a 50% decrease in America's indebtedness. And to take the American national debt from $10 trillion, it's actually $9.9 trillion, to $17.3 trillion, in 5 years, your average deficits had to be $1.4 trillion a year. President of the United States is a pathological liar. The theme of his speech was, inequality has deepened. Upward mobility has stalled. Neither are true. Both are false. A close examination of the president's speeches reveals an interesting and disingenuous shift in Barack Hussein Obama's rhetoric. Last month, in December of 2013, just a month ago, the president gave a speech on economic mobility in which he stated three times that inequality was declining in the United States. Three times a month ago. Making a speech on the economy, he said that inequality was declining. And now in his State of the Union, he says that inequality is increasing. Was he lying a month ago, or was he lying last night? Those are two options. There is a third. Was he lying both times? And that happens to be the case. The fact is that inequality in America economically hasn't changed since we began studying it and since we began devising all sorts of government plans against inequality back in the 1960s. Earlier this month, renowned economists Raj Chetty, Emmanuel Saez, and colleagues published a paper based on tens of millions of tax records showing that upward mobility had not changed with time. The rate is the same now as it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and 50 years ago. Later in this program's second hour, I will share that report with you. The President of the United States is a pathological liar. There is really nothing worse than justifying action based on lies. You know, George W. Bush lied about Afghanistan. He lied about Al-Qaeda. He lied about 9/11. He lied about Iraq, justifying the invasion of those two countries. How many lives were lost? Over 200,000 American lives, when you consider the suicides of U.S. troops who served there, have been lost. $4 trillion squandered based on those lies. The next statement that the pathological liar, known as the President of the United States, made, he said, today, women make up about half of our workforce, but they still make 77 cents for every dollar a man earns. That is wrong. And in 2014, it's an embarrassment. Yeah, he's embarrassed by the U.S. economy because he doesn't like the free enterprise system. He wants a communist system. It's also not true. Now, there is a wage gap. But the difference in the life choices of men versus women, such as women tending to leave the workforce when they have children, make it impossible to make simplistic comparisons. There are three studies, however. A fairly cursory study done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which shows that the labor gap is 19 cents, not the president's 23 cents. The gap is even smaller when you look at the hourly wages. It's 14 cents versus 23 cents. And since women in general work fewer hours than men in a year, the statistics used by the White House are not reliable for examining the key focus of legislation pending in Congress, which is wage discrimination. Economists at the Federal Reserve concluded that research actually demonstrates that the gender wage gap, when female workers are compared with male workers who have similar characteristics, is much, much lower than is what the president cited. They quoted research from the U.S. Labor Department, which concluded that when differences in the characteristics of the workers are compared, their qualifications are accounted for, the actual wage gap is less than 5 cents. Less than 5%. And yet the president would have you believe that it's 23%. That it's an embarrassment. That it's wrong. No, folks. The president of the United States is a pathological liar. His next statement is also untrue. He says that more than 9 million Americans have signed up for private health insurance or Medicaid coverage. And he made the statement, he says, you know, the fact that since 9 million Americans are being helped by the Affordable Care Act, we ought not have Congress trying to veto it every month. So Obama's taking credit, saying that these numbers are the result of the Affordable Care Act. More than 9 million Americans. The Medicaid portion of this, the free government subsidy number, is 6.3 million. That's from October through December. It, too, is fictitious. It's overstated by 80%. The Affordable Care Act expanded Medicaid to those who earn up to 133% of the poverty line. So if you're not below the poverty line, but you're within, your income is within 33% of what's considered the poverty line, then you would receive Medicaid where you would not otherwise receive it. That was the primary expansion. 26 states have accepted that policy. 24 have not. No one knows how many of the 6.3 million are in the expansion pool, or whether the vast preponderance are simply renewing what they would have already qualified for under Medicaid before the new law. Indeed, the number also includes millions of people joining Medicaid in states that chose not to accept the expansion. I mean, half of the 6.3 number is from states that rejected the expansion. That takes you right down to 3.1 million right off the get-go. And of the remaining 3.1 million in the 26 states that did accept the expansion, which is also, it's actually 25 states because it includes the District of Columbia, more than half of those are people who qualified for the old coverage. CNS News Service reported in 2012, which is the last year that we have accounting for these numbers, there were 72,600,000 Americans on Medicaid, outnumbering the populations of France and the United Kingdom. In fiscal 2008, when Barack Hussein Obama took office, there were 58,794,000 Medicaid enrollees. The expansion of Medicaid prior to his Affordable Care Act in the first 4 years of his administration is 23% in 4 years. In other words, the numbers represent nothing more than what the previous trend had been. The private insurance numbers, about 3 million, are also open to question. You see, the troubled federal exchange counts people as enrolled if an individual has selected a plan but does not know whether or not the person actually enrolled or paid the premium, because that part of the system has not even been built yet. It'd be like Amazon showing sales for the next year without actually receiving the payment. If you go and you put a book in your cart and a necklace for your wife, and you put it in your cart, but don't check out. According to the government, that's a sale. That's how stupid this administration is. That's how far from reality economically this man who has never had a job in his life, never worked in the private sector, never so much as asked, would you like fries with that hamburger, is from reality. He's clueless. You know, it's like a person walking through Sears and Sears saying, you know, if you like that pretty pink dress, even if you don't buy it, we're going to count it as a sale because you liked it. If it wasn't so devastating, it would be funny. You know, in reality, at the very most, about 20% of his number is accurate. It's 80% inaccurate, which puts the actual number down at about 1 million. It's 1.3 million, not 9 million, or in his words, over 9 million. But beyond that, millions of Americans lost their health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. There's about a 5-to-1 ratio of those Americans who lost their insurance because of the Affordable Care Act, because their insurance was no longer qualified. And they were faced with premiums and deductibles that were astronomically higher than they were previously. The net effect of the Affordable Care Act is to make health care unaffordable for those Americans that actually are responsible and pay for their health care. And it has caused far more plans to be canceled than new plans to be initiated based upon its terms. And might I also add that when we look at the fact that the U.S. debt is $17.3 trillion, more than 105% of gross domestic product, that we are the most indebted nation on earth, the single largest contributor to our debt is Medicare and Medicaid. They are larger than Social Security, larger than military expenditures. And so at a time that we are continuing to add massively to our debt to increase the cost of the most expensive and the fastest growing program in terms of cost is utterly stupid. Washington Post wrote when President Obama spoke to the nation on Tuesday night, his approval ratings were lower than for any of his previous State of the Union addresses. It's true that this president, the longer America is exposed to him, the less popular he becomes. That's not a good trend. And the Americans, they wrote, are broadly pessimistic about what he or lawmakers of either party will make good decisions on the future of the country. Obama's general weakness and the overall lack of confidence in the country's political leadership provide a stark backdrop to the beginning of a potentially difficult and significant election year. Obama is looking to rebound from what many have judged to be the worst year of his presidency. That was a disaster. He used the IRS to go after a political foe and got caught red-handed in their attack on the Tea Party. He then wiretapped the Associated Press. He then lied about the reasons, the motivations, the perpetrators of the Benghazi terrorist attack. His speeches regarding the wonderful nature of Islam exploded into civil wars around the Middle East. Everything the man said and did, including his signature bit of legislation, which was the Affordable Care Act, caused insurance for those who actually paid for their insurance to go up dramatically, 2 and 3 times what the previous cost would be, for coverage they did not want. and his billion-dollar website to offer these things did not work. You say that it was a bad year for the President of the United States. Gee, I'd say so. His current approval stands at 46%. Well, that's up from a low of 42% in November. What in the world would cause 4% of Americans to increase their approval of him? It's just stunning to me that 46% of Americans didn't think this man is qualified to be President of the United States. But it's really the fact that 37% say that they just have a great deal of confidence in the man, that he's made all the right decisions for the country's future. 37%. Those 37% are religious in their devotion to the Democratic Party. Those are your union members. They are your media members. They are your government workers. They are your welfare recipients. Oh, let's not forget the earned income tax credit recipients. They are those who have become more devoted to liberal politics than most are to their religion. Yes, we find that 37% say that they have a good amount or a great amount of confidence in the president to make the right decisions for the country's future. Yeah, this man that thought it would be appropriate to wiretap the Associated Press because he thought there was a mole that was a Clinton proponent in his administration. Imagine that. He filled his administration with mostly Clinton appointees. He got caught red-handed using the IRS to go after political opponents in the Tea Party. He got caught red-handed in a lie regarding the Benghazi attack on the American ambassador. I went to sleep that night as it was occurring and changed the CIA briefing papers 12 times to blame it on a film rather than on Ansar Sharia. This is a man that watched the Islamic world following his speech in Cairo explode. Hundreds of thousands of deaths. Yeah, this is the man that launched the Affordable Care Act that caused the Americans that were actually paying for health care to lose theirs. With a website that had $1 billion wouldn't work. Yep. I can see why 37% of Americans would have a good amount or great deal of confidence in him. If you're among them, you're a moron. I'm sorry, you're just a moron. Either that or you know that what you're saying is untrue, but that you benefit from the welfare state. You benefit from this politically correct view and manipulation of government and its intervention in people's lives, and that's your religion. 63% say that they do not think that the president is doing the right thing. 63% say that they have a very negative view of the president of the United States. Now, those numbers are a mirror image of what they were when he was sworn into office in 2009 and lower than at any other time the question was asked by the Washington Post or ABC News. Obama's approval ratings are almost identical to those of George W. Bush. Boy, there's a man to pull even with in a race. George Bush, the man that lied about Afghanistan and Iraq at the consequence of 200,000 American lives, $4 trillion squandered. A man who took a $250 billion budget surplus and turned it into a $1.3 billion budget deficit. Yeah, there's a man that you want to be right neck and neck with him in a race. Other recent two-term presidents, Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan, had 60% approval ratings at the start of their 6 years. Richard Nixon, of course, in the middle of the Watergate scandal, he was at 26%. Confidence in Democrats and Republicans in Congress is even lower than President Obama. 27% say they have confidence in Democrats to make the right decisions for the country. It means that the difference in 27 and 37% is the hero worship that goes along with religious zeal. Politics in America is a religious devotion now. It's just like religion. Evidence and reason don't matter. People have a messianic religious zeal about their religion. And they, just like religion, they cast the leader of their religion in a mythological light. 72% say that they do not think that Democrats in Congress are prepared to make the right decisions. Just 19% have confidence in Republicans, while 80% are in opposition to Republicans in Congress. Pathetic, huh? That's why I say you can't fix the American government. You know, it would be exactly like saying, you know, the deck chairs on the Titanic are the wrong color. There's too many red deck chairs on the Titanic. Well, we need some more blue ones. And if we could just change the color of the deck chairs on the Titanic, that she'd float another few minutes. That's all this emphasis on who wins, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, is that misguided? It doesn't make any difference. And it's time, long past time, that Americans come to realize that repopulating large institutions, religious, media, political, military, isn't going to make one iota's worth of difference. They're rotten. They're counterproductive. It's time to walk away. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the news and commercial break. Please stay with us.